If you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them to Ephesians 6. Unlike what your bulletin says, it says Ephesians 13. My bad. We're looking at scriptures through 13 through 18 in a sense, but I don't know how I did that, but I did it after being in the emergency room and after being in urgent care, so if that says anything. But it is Ephesians 6 this morning. If you were here 2 weeks ago, I shared about my little buddy Zach out here, who came up after service, or actually stuck around in service. He was sick, but he stuck around after service because he wanted to come up and have me pray for him. And if you were here, I shared how that situation caused me to kind of start to think about prayer and the importance of prayer. And so I kind of started a few weeks ago a little mini-series on prayer. And the main reason is because I think oftentimes we take prayer for granted. We don't realize the power of prayer, and again, more the power of God who works through our prayers. And oftentimes we fail to see the impact that prayer has really had on our lives. And so this morning I'm going to continue to look at prayer and how vital prayer is to our relationship with the Lord. And so as we begin to focus on prayer, and as we've been praying about that, or I've been praying about that and talking about that, I felt led to go to Ephesians 6. And in this scripture, at the very end, a lot of people miss this because there's so many other things you focus on. But at the very end of the chapter, Paul talks just briefly about prayer. And so before we read our main scripture, which is verse 18 this morning, I want to give you a little context so you can better understand what Paul is talking about here in this scripture about prayer. You see, Ephesians 6 is a well-known chapter in the Bible. And the reason is it's the chapter that talks about the armor of God, right? We know the armor of God, putting on the armor of God. As a matter of fact, our pre-K and kindergarten class downstairs is actually walking through the armor of God right now. And recently, a month or so back, the first through fifth grade was walking through the armor of God. And in this chapter, Paul points out the reason that we need this armor. And it's because whether we know it or not, we're in the middle of a spiritual battle. There's a spiritual battle that's raging on all around us. And so, I real quickly, before we get to our main scripture, I want to read Ephesians 6, 12 through 13 to you this morning. I think I have it to go up on the screen here, and you can just kind of follow along with me if you don't have your Bible. It says this. It says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand." So Paul wants us to realize that we're in the middle of this great spiritual battle. Because a lot of times, we're oblivious to that. We're not even aware of this battle that's going on around us. And so he goes on to talk about the armor and how he compares, you know, the armor of a real soldier to the armor that we have that the Lord has given us in our relationship with Him, and how to survive in this war. This war that rages on each and every day. Now, many of you know I served in the Marine Corps for 4 years, and I was very fortunate to not ever have to go to battle. I was very fortunate to not ever have to be in war situation. But as a Marine, especially as a reconnaissance Marine, as I spent a year with the Recon Marines, we were always training for war, right? Because we never know. There were times where I was that close to heading off to war. There were times where we were packed and ready to go, and thankfully back then Saddam Hussein moved back from the lines like he was supposed to at that time, and so we didn't have to go. But the thing is, we would train and be prepared because we never knew when that time would come that we would have to go. And so you have to be prepared. Now, I used to joke, when I first got out of the Marine Corps, I joked that there were two things that I got out of the Marine Corps. One, the most important, my wife, who I met when I was down at Camp Pendleton at a church there that I would go to. And so I was thankful that I went into the Marine Corps, if for anything, that I met my wife and we got married, and it's a beautiful picture. And 20 years later, we're still together. She still loves me, and we have great kids. But the other thing, the second that I joke about that I got out of the Marine Corps was a great spiritual analogy on surviving war, all right? Because you see, during my time in recon, I discovered that there are two things that are essential if you're going to survive in any kind of war situation. There are two things that are essential for that. The first is food. With the strains and demands of war, you will never survive without some sort of nourishment, right? The picture of my son yesterday will tell you that, right? As he was malnourished in that time and without water, he started to forget things and didn't know things, right? As I shared that earlier. Without food, you will not survive the strains of war and going. If you don't have nourishment, you'll become tired and weak, and eventually your body will break down. Now, here's the thing. This is true about the spiritual battles that we face as Christians. It's true in this spiritual war. If we aren't getting fed spiritually, then the strains and demands of this world around us are going to wear us down. Now, I could speak a whole message on the Word of God, because that's what we're talking about when we talk about getting fed and the importance of being fed. But today, I want to focus on the second thing that I learned that you need to survive in war. And the second thing that I learned that you need in war is communication. In the Marine Corps, I was a 2531 field radio operator. Basically, I was a grunt with a radio on my back. All right, I was the comm guy. And being a field radio operator, I realized the importance of communication. We found that out early because they pointed out the fact that you are going to be the one that they're going to be shooting at first. Right? It's like, oh, great, thanks. I'm so glad I signed up for this, right? I learned early how important communication was. And the reason is because if they can take out your radio and take out your communication, it can be devastating to you. Because if you don't have communication, number one, you won't know your mission. You won't know what you're supposed to do. You'll just be out there going, where are we supposed to go? What are we supposed to do? If you don't have communication, you're just kind of dead in the water, right? If you don't have communication, you won't know if the troops up ahead are friendly or foe. You know how many people are killed in war by their own people, by friendly fire? It's important that you have communication to know, is that person up there ahead someone that we can trust or someone that's coming after us? And we can know that through good communication. And if you don't have communication, when you're in trouble, you won't be able to call for support. You won't be able to call for anyone to come and to help you. And so communication plays a vital role in surviving in any kind of war type situation. And again, the same holds true for us in this thing, this spiritual battle called life, right? We have to have communication with the Lord, with the commander, right? If we want to survive. And our greatest form of communication is prayer. It's prayer. And Paul understands this. And that's why I really believe Paul wraps up this section of the armor of God with a verse about prayer. So our main focus on prayer this morning is based off of one scripture. It's Ephesians 6 through 18. And I want to do something a little bit different this morning. I don't know why I felt led to do this, but I want to do this. We're going to put it up on the screen. And I want us to read it together. I want us to read the scripture out loud. And so it's in the one translation, so we're not reading from different Bibles here. But let's read this together. It says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." in this one scripture and in the context of where this scripture lies, talking about spiritual battle, I believe there are three things that we can learn from Paul about prayer. And so I want to share those three things with you this morning. The first thing about prayer is this: prayer must be constant. Prayer must be constant. In the first part of verse 18, it says, pray on all occasions. Pray on all occasions. We're supposed to be praying continuously, constantly, seeking the Lord, communicating with Him. You see, sometimes our tendency is to pray in times of crisis, right? Or when we need something. That's when we go to the Lord. But Paul knows that it's from our daily prayer with God that we find strength to make it through each day, to make it through this spiritual battle. I want to read a scripture to you that kind of touches on this. It's John 15, 5 through 8. I'm going to put it up here. It says this: I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, though, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withered. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. This scripture here, the relationship that Jesus talks about in the scripture, abiding in Him, being with Him, can only happen through prayer, through connection and relationship with the Lord. You see, God desires to have a close, deep, personal relationship with each of us. He desires that we abide in Him and have that close relationship with each of us. But the thing is, it's pretty hard to have a relationship with anyone, right? If you never talk to them, if you never communicate with them, or if you only communicate occasionally when you need something or when you're in trouble, right? You don't get to know someone if you're not continually talking with them. Prayer must be constant. It needs to be an everyday part of our lives. Now, it's not like we walk down the street, oh, let me get down on my knees. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Okay, I'm good. You know, a few steps, oh, Heavenly. No, that's not what we're talking about. A lot of times we think of prayer as this thing that's, you know, so formal. Prayer is just talking with God. Walking down the street. I mean, I sometimes realize I have to look around and make, you know, because I'll be walking down the street and I'll just be talking and praying, and then I'm like, people looking at me like, and I'm weird, you know, or whatever. But it's just that. It's talking and walking with the Lord. It needs to be an everyday part of our life, because it's through that constant prayer that we begin to hear that still, small voice of the Lord. We're able to hear and know His desires for our lives when we're continually communicating with Him. You see, the reality is, the more we talk to someone, the easier it is to decipher their voice, right? You know when in the other room you hear your spouse's voice, right? Well, I hear my wife, I hear my husband, whatever, right? You know your children's voice, you hear, right? You know your best friend's voice. You hear them like, whoa, I hear their voice, right? Why? Because their voice has become familiar to you, right? And why has it become familiar? Because we communicate with them regularly, right? We're talking, and maybe you're like, I don't recognize my wife's voice. Maybe that's telling you something. Maybe you need to talk a little bit, all right? But we, because we communicate with them regularly, it's important that we talk with God regularly, right? It's important that we are able to decipher and hear His voice. If you remember when I talked about prayer a couple weeks ago, I talked about praying God's will not our will. And here's the thing, it's through our constant times of prayer that we are able to hear His voice, and that we're able to then hear what His will and what His desire is. Because a lot of times we just try to go with our own thing, right? But we have to listen to His voice. And as we begin to hear His voice, then we begin to know and to understand His will. And in this spiritual battle, the fact is we have all sorts of voices around us trying to pull us in different directions, trying to tell us what we should do, how we should live, what their will for our life is, right? And so that's why it's so important that we know the voice of the Lord, so that in the midst of all the clutter, in the midst of all the voices vying for our attention, we can stop and we can hear and recognize the voice of the Lord. Prayer must be constant. The second thing, as we look at just the nature of Ephesians 6, we can safely say that prayer must be intense. Okay? Prayer must be intense. And why do I say that? I say that because this is a war, right? This is a battle that we're in. Wimpy prayers do not win wars, right? Prayer demands our full concentration to be on God and to pray with intensity and to pray with power and to pray with authority. I actually kind of talked about this a little bit a few weeks ago when I talked about praying with expectation, right? We have to realize that though we're in a spiritual battle as Christians, we're on the side of the God of the universe. The God that created all things, He's on our side. I mean, really, we're on His side. Right? Because it's His thing and we come alongside Him. But we're on His side. And the God who created us, He has got our backs, right? As long as we are seeking and praying His will, not our own. And because of that, if we're operating that way, we can pray with confidence. 1 John 5:14 through 15 says this: "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him." The Scripture basically gives us some guidelines on how we can pray with confidence, with intensity, with authority. Number one, we have to make sure we're asking in accordance with the will of God, right? And again, how do we do that? It's like I said earlier, we ask. That's what that constant daily prayer is about. That's why it's so important. Secondly, we need to believe that God does hear our prayers, that He does care about what we're praying about, and that He's already set the answers in motion because He's God and He's already at work. And then thirdly, we need to pray continuously and persistently until His will is accomplished. Because if we're praying God's will, we can pray with power and authority, knowing that it will be accomplished in His time and in His way. You see, oftentimes when God doesn't respond as quickly as we would like Him to, which is often, all right, because He's on His time frame, not ours, when He doesn't respond as quickly as we like, I think sometimes we quit praying and we just assume, well, I guess the answer is no. Right? A lot of times that's what we do. But I think there are times when we know that we have to keep praying. We can't quit. The power of prayer, I believe, is unleashed in those who persevere in the presence of God, who have heard God and continue to pray out of faith and trust because they know that they've heard the voice of the Lord, and we continue to pray faithfully. You see, I believe that there are times where we have to just buckle down, right? And we need to pray, and we need to trust that God is going to move and that His will is going to be accomplished. The power of prayer comes from God, right? And we have to trust that He will accomplish His will. Because the power of prayer doesn't come from the one praying, and it doesn't come from just praying, "Wow, that was a powerful prayer, wasn't it?" It doesn't come from the person praying or from the prayer itself. The answer to prayer comes from God. We serve a powerful God that can do all things, and we continue to faithfully pray and trust that His will be accomplished, and again, in His time and in His way. And that's that thing. We have to trust in the Lord, right? We hate that scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, right? But in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. He will accomplish His will. That's what that's about. Prayer must be constant. It must be intense. And lastly, prayer must be unselfish. Prayer must be unselfish. At the end of verse 18, Paul says, pray for all the saints. Pray for all the saints. He's saying, we got to pray for everybody. Oftentimes, our prayers are all about who? Us, right? Oftentimes, our prayers are all about us, about our needs, about what we want, about our desires. But that's not God's desire. There's actually an old Jewish saying that says, and I can't say it in Hebrew or anything, but it says this, let a man unite himself with the community in his prayers. It's the community of God coming together, praying for one another. And I believe that's why Paul is encouraging us here in this scripture. And that's what he's encouraging us to do, to pray for everybody, to pray beyond just ourselves. We need to learn to pray as much for others as we do for our wants and our desires. Maybe even more so. You know, it's funny as you think about this, I wonder how many of us are here today because of grandmas or grandpas or aunts or uncles or moms or dads who faithfully continue to pray for us. Unselfish prayers, right? Standing in the gap, interceding for us. Praying for God's will to be done in our lives, lifting up us. I think sometimes we underestimate the simple prayer of praying for others, lifting others up. Psalms 106:23. Listen to this scripture. It's amazing. It says this, so he said he would destroy them had not Moses, his chosen one, stood in the gap before him to keep his wrath from destroying them. What does that mean? What is that saying there? It means that if Moses hadn't prayed unselfishly for the people of Israel, God would have wiped them out. It was Moses' unselfish prayers. He could have just said, God, save me. And God would have said, okay, you are the only one. I will save you, but I'm going to wipe the rest of them out. No, he prayed for the people of Israel. He prayed unselfishly for others. Again, how many of us might have been lost or destroyed if it hadn't been for family members or friends unselfishly praying for us, praying through our failures, praying through our downfalls, and continuing to lift us up? Some of you may be familiar with Pastor Jack Hayford. He was actually the former president of the Foursquare denomination, but he's also a well-known pastor throughout the world. He said this, or he wrote this in one of his books. He said, unselfish intercession, and intercession is praying for others, unselfish intercession prevails beyond the otherwise destructive effects of human weakness and sin. Basically, when we intercede and pray for others unselfishly, it can actually change lives. It can turn people to the Lord. It can change the individual. It can change communities. It can change nations even, right? 2 Chronicles 7:14, we know this scripture. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Unselfish prayer. Here's the thing. I think, unfortunately, many of our prayer warriors are slowly going to be with the Lord. The ones that have faithfully just continued to pray. Many of them are grandmas and grandpas and seasoned veterans of the church that are slowly going to be with the Father. Which means, if we don't step up and start being people who pray unselfishly, then we're going to be in trouble. Right? We need young people. We need all people of all ages. Let's just put it that way. But we need even the young people. We need people of all ages who are going to rise up and become people of prayer. People who pray for God's will to be done unselfishly in the lives of others and in the world around us. People who aren't just praying their wants and their desires, but are praying for God's will to move in the lives of those around them. Several years ago, God began to challenge me in this area. That's one of the reasons that we pray here on Tuesday mornings at 6 a.m. Since we planted this church, every Tuesday at 6 a.m., every once in a while we miss for this or that. But we pray at 6 a.m. and pray for our church. We pray for prayer requests that you give here. We pray for our community. We've learned to pray unselfishly for those around. And that came out of the Lord stirring my heart, which actually started me to begin to write a prayer journal years ago. And let me just give you a little background of why that started, all right? I got tired of feeling guilty when people would come to me. This happened in Eugene and in Newburgh, even I was a youth pastor. People would come to me and say, "Hey, Darren, could you pray for this for me, right?" And I'd be, "Oh, yeah, sure, right?" And they'd leave, and then like 2 or 3 weeks later or whatever, they'd come back and go, "Oh, Darren, thank you so much for praying for me. You know, oh, God did this, God did that." I'm sitting there going, "Oh my gosh, I don't have the heart to tell them that I didn't pray. I'm sure glad God answered their prayers and the prayers of those that were praying, because I didn't pray." And so I began to feel guilty as that would happen. So I'm like, I got to do something about this. So that's where I started a prayer journal. And so when people come up to me and they begin to say, "Hey, will you pray for this?" I try to, that next day, usually if it's on Sunday or whatever, I try to get and write that into my prayer journal. So that as I go through my prayer journal regularly throughout the week, I have my regular prayers with my family and things and all that kind of stuff, but then at the bottom it's just all the prayer requests that people have given to me. And I just try to kind of go through and make sure that I'm lifting up and praying for others. And that challenge that the Lord put up on my heart is what's caused me to be someone who wants to continually pray. And that's why we pray here on Tuesday mornings, to pray unselfishly. I want to be a prayer warrior. I want to be like those grandmas and grandpas who faithfully pray for others. And because of those prayers, we see people come to know the Lord. And I realized if I want to truly be a prayer warrior, then I need to make sure that I'm actually doing that. That we're actually taking time to pray for people. And God's desire is that all of us would be people who pray unselfishly. That it's not just about us, but it's about His kingdom, about His will and His desire for those around us. And the thing is, communication is key. That's the title of my message. Communication is key as we walk through the spiritual battles of life. We have to continue to communicate with the Lord. Without that communication, we're going to fail. Without that communication in the warlike situations, the strains and difficulties of the world around us are going to bring us down. And so we have to constantly communicate. We have to constantly be praying. And we need to make sure that our prayers are constant, that our prayers are intense. And I think most importantly, that our prayers are unselfish, that we're seeking God's will and way for those around us. Amen. Let's pray. We'll have the worship team come up and we'll finish with prayer this morning, our worship this morning. Lord, we thank You for this word and just, Lord, the challenges that even You have brought to me from a young boy just coming up and asking for prayer. How it's challenged me to make sure, Lord, that I'm getting back to that place in my life where I'm not taking prayer for granted, but I'm remembering how You move through our prayers, Lord. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much, man or woman, Lord. And I want to be someone who is righteous before you and continuing to pray and to seek your will, that, Lord, you may move through those prayers and do the miraculous. Teach me, teach us to be people who pray, Lord, who pray continuously and constantly, that we're seeking you in every aspect, in every way, seeking to communicate with you, that we may know your voice, Lord, that we may hear your voice, that we may not pray our prayers and our desires, but we may pray your will, the will of the Father. Teach us how to pray, Lord. And Lord, we don't want to pray wimpy prayers. We want to be people who pray with power and authority, because we serve a big God that can do all things. And as we listen to your voice, and as we continue to pray, and we pray your will, you will accomplish it, Lord. And Lord, may we pray unselfishly. May we be people who continue to lift up those around us, who focus more on others than ourselves, Lord Jesus. That we focus on your kingdom, Lord. That we focus on those around us and seeing your will be done in the world that you created, Lord. We thank you for this gift of prayer that you've given us. Let us not take it for granted. Let us be people who continually seek you. The fact that we have a God that we can communicate with is an amazing thing, because you are the only one true God. And we thank you and we praise you for that, Lord. May you challenge us this week in our time of prayer. May we continue to just seek you in all that we do, Lord. We thank you and we praise you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen.